Greetings, Scotch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Jared Zimney, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We've got Jared on for the second time. You were on... What were we talking about when you were on? You were on a couple months ago, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I don't really remember. You know, it was lots of Little Mermaid stuff.
It was that memorable of experience. You're like, hey, you sent me a direct message on Twitter. I'd like to do your thing again. I have no idea what I did before.
I remember the important stuff. The Snarfblad.
Snarfblad, that's right. We did talk about the Little Mermaid. That's right. Was it Lion King? It wasn't Lion King. It wasn't that recent. It was a while ago. It was like this summer.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Well, you're back. So I'm back. Here we are. Yeah, we're back. Back for it's my early Christmas present. Allowing you to be on my show. such a jerk. Anyways, let's move on and talk about the where you can get a hold of us. If you're listening to it, it's kind of a stupid thing because you have gotten a hold of us already. But just in case you didn't know, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and listen to us online. You can use that to subscribe to our. We got links to iTunes and everything. And speaking of iTunes, you can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies or Fat Guys Network, and we'll pop right up. Actually, just me and Neil will pop up. Sorry, Jared, you don't get your face on there yet.
That's cool.
But you can listen to all our stuff. We got reviews, we got DVD stuff, we've got The Idiot Boxer, Celluloid Spotlight, all these podcasts in the network. You can also go to facebook.com/FGATM to like us and get updates whenever we post something new. You can also email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We do have that email from Thomas from Seattle, but we're waiting until Mel Valentin recovers from super Ebola so he can get back on the show and answer that. And then we have the voicemail at 740-205-6456. The only calls we've gotten we've gotten no calls. We're not even getting creditor calls anymore. We got one of those, but
that's sad.
We got a spam call once, which was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So what's new with your life? Tell everybody where you can find you.
Well,
Jared.
We're also on the Facebook. facebook.com/moviesinthemancave or on Twitter at @mancavemovies. Basically me and my brother-in-law Cody reviewing movies. That's basically about it, given our take.
What have you been reviewing lately? You just review basically the DVD releases. You pair them up, don't you?
Yeah, we do like DVDs or we go and check out new releases. Newest one we saw was Immortals, so that was pretty decent.
That's a man cave movie.
Definitely. Definitely. There's blood, gore, boobs. Yeah.
The three food groups.
Yeah, basically. So that's about it. So
that was it. Okay. You didn't do Harold and Kumar? Because that to me, that was the first one I was thinking. Harold and Kumar, a very 3D Christmas, would be a total man cave movie type of.
Yeah,
movie.
We didn't venture out to see that one though.
Okay. Anyways, let's talk about a movie that's. Should we start? Should we start with the movies at all? You ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's talk about a movie from that would. I don't know if this is exactly a man cave movie. It has elements that could work as a man cave movie, but we're talking about The Descendants, which is directed by Alexander Payne, who did movies like About Schmidt and Sideways and Election. In this, George Clooney plays a man who must bring his family together on the eve of a big business decision to say goodbye to his dying wife.
Sorry to bother you, I'm Matt King. Yeah, I've come to pick up my daughter, Alexandra.
Alex?
Dad? What's up, Dad? What's happening?
You need to come home and see your mom. I'm the backup parent, the understudy, and with Elizabeth, my wife, in the hospital, my daughter's attesting me.
Oh, okay. Don't back inside now.
Real good job you're doing.
Are you a big fan of George Clooney?
I actually am. Not in Batman, but basically anything
but look,
outside that.
Look, any actor has his own fair share of crap. you can't exactly... I mean, everyone's like, well, what about Johnny Depp? I'm like, have you seen The Astronaut's Wife? Have you seen The Tourist? He does really bad movies, too. He also Johnny Depp had a cameo in Jack and Jill, so you can't blame the actors.
Wow, yeah, exactly. So, other than that, yeah, George Clooney, it's pretty top-notch in my book. So.
Yeah. Every year I've always said this about certain actors. Kevin Spacey's like this. You can always expect that one entry into the Oscar season from certain actors, Clint Eastwood, or directors. Clint Eastwood always had, there's always a Clint Eastwood movie at the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
That goes for it. There's always a George Clooney movie, at least one, sometimes two. Actually, he's very prolific right now because he has two. It's this one and The Ides of March, which you know, preemptive note on this. Ides of March is one of my favorite movies of the year. It's far, far better than The Descendants.
But, wow.
Kevin Spacey also always has some movie he's pushing for Oscar season this year. It's Margin Call. Last year it was like Casino Jack. So, anyways, The Descendants. Here's the thing: it is getting tons and tons of buzz. Everybody's going gaga over this movie. While it's a good movie, it's well made, it's well acted, it's a touching story. It's not a perfect movie,
okay.
And I don't think it's worthy of the hype. I think there are certain movies. My Week with Marilyn's the same way. It's everyone's just going, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Michelle Williams is, you can't, there's no greater actor around. And I saw My Week with Marilyn, and I'm like, it was like a BBC movie, like a really well made BBC miniseries.
Oh, okay.
But
not great, but decent.
Yeah, I mean, it was charming and whimsical at the beginning, and it had some punch. And Michelle Williams was okay, but I don't think she's that great of an actress. Anyways, I think she's pretty much one note. She plays like sort of solemn and glowery and everything. She could play Dora the Explorer, and she'd be like, should we take the Mab out? That's my impression of Michelle Williams playing Dora the Explorer.
Nice.
That would be a weird movie.
Coming to theaters next year.
That's right, 2012 for Oscar season. but this movie, George Clooney does a good job. And Shailene, I think is her name, Woodley, who is actually from The Secret Life of the American Teenager, who people don't know her from that. She's the new girl on the block. No, she's been acting for like 6 years. She does a great job as his daughter. Now, again, everybody's focusing on their performances, and they do well. These are not bad performances, but to me, these aren't top-notch, best-of-the-year, knock-it-out-of-the-park type performances. They do a good job with it. I actually thought there's two small roles by Matthew Lillard and Judy Greer, who I love Judy Greer, by the way. And both of them, I think, really kind of steal the show. When they each have their one shot. And even though Matthew Lillard is not a great actor, and he's goofy and weird,
okay,
but he has a real tender, real moment in there that I think supersedes the Oscar centerpiece of acting that you get with Clooney and Woodley.
Right.
The other thing, and here's what I had a real problem with, is the story is he's a guy, his wife is in a boating accident, and it was a boating accident. It's in Hawaiian, so there's no, Richard Dreyfuss isn't running in going, this is no boating accident. No, it's definitely a boating accident. And she's brain damaged, she's brain dead, so they have to pull the plug, and it's him trying to get the family together and bringing his daughter over from another island because it takes place in Hawaii, and resolving this and realizing that he's going to now be a single dad with these two kids. And it has a chance to really show some growth with the characters because he's a terrible father, even though they don't think he's a terrible. The movie doesn't present him as a terrible father, but he's a terrible father.
Okay.
And they have a chance to make him grow. But they don't. And that's the thing. I mean, you get to the end, you're like, well, he's the same guy. He's just slightly different because, you know, he had to pull a plug on his wife. But otherwise,
whoa.
You know, it's otherwise it's he's the same kind of distant father who doesn't know how to deal with his children. So, yeah, I'm going to say this is in limited release and it's opened wider this last week, but it's probably even getting wider now. But I'm going to say it kind of rocks. But other than that, that's about it. We're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more limited films. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We were just talking about, what were we talking about? Oh, The Descendants. That's what we were talking about.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I've watched, and a lot of people, I get tons of screeners because I'm in three critic organizations. I'm in the local, the Central Ohio Film Critics Association. I'm a member of the Online Film Critics Society, which feeds into Rotten Tomatoes. I'm also a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. I forget. Society, yeah, sure. Association. Well, it's one of those things that's like, does S or A work better at the end of your name?
Right.
So I'm in the Broadcast Film Critics Association as well. So I'm getting tons of screeners this year, and sometimes multiple screeners of the same movie, which do me no good because I can't send them out to people as friends because it's like watermarked for me. And the last thing I need is even if I were to give it to somebody that I knew, mm-hmm. and they'd watch it and put it on their shelves, and they'd say, have some crackhead friend of theirs come in and be like, oh, hey, look, I'm going to rip this and BitTorrent it up. And then suddenly it's my watermark all over it. So I hold these things really close to the breast. So I have this big stack of screeners. I actually had somebody, an unnamed, prominent reviewer kind of get mad at me because he was claiming I was bragging about getting screeners. And I'm like, I'm not bragging. I just get them. That's why they send them to me. They send them to me so I will talk about them. So I will watch it and talk about it. That's right. Why we get the screeners in the first place. So I'm doing exactly what they want me to do.
Exactly.
And it was even funnier is the stuff I was talking about. It was already on DVD anyways. It was like stuff from Oscilloscope. And I think everything from Oscilloscope, at the time, I think Bellflower hadn't been released, but everything else that Oscilloscope has been pushing has already been out on DVD, except for, now Bellflower is, but we need to talk about Kevin, which comes out next week. But everything else they sent as screeners, it's already out on DVD, and some of it's on, like, Instant. So
yeah,
if don't be jealous, just go watch it.
Exactly.
So I have this big stack of stuff. So I'm like working through my screen, and I kind of got sidetracked a little bit leading up to Thanksgiving because it just got very busy with my wife was a teacher, is a teacher, and she has conferences and stuff. And
yeah,
and I finally started catching up. So I'm like, watch like 7 movies over Thanksgiving, the long weekend. And I watched The Rum Diary, which was okay. And like, I watched a couple of the movies we're talking about here. One of them was The Descendants. And I like watch Midnight in Paris, which is an okay movie. It's kind of a gaga over the romanticized 1920s Paris. It actually appeals to the people who don't get it, which is weird to say. Because the purpose of the movie in Midnight in Paris, because Woody Allen even smacks you in the face with a message. He literally has Owen Wilson saying, this is what the movie means at one point. And it's saying, don't romanticize the past, romanticize the moment. But everybody I've heard go gaga over it is like, oh, it's so wonderful because it so romanticizes the past. I'm like, that's not the point of the movie.
They tell you otherwise.
They literally say it. There's literally a scene between Owen Wilson and Marion Cotillard where he's just saying, hey, guys, this is what the movie's about. It's sort of like The Sixth Sense where the kid's saying, I see dead people. They don't know they're dead. I'm talking to you, Bruce Willis. So it's, you know, these, and so I'm just getting weary of these movies after watching so many of them. There's no lighthearted comedy at this time of year.
No.
The lightest movie you got is something like Midnight in Paris. And it's even Woody Allen's lighthearted comedies aren't very lighthearted. They're very angsty.
Yes. Yes.
So, here's one. This is one that I got as a screener that I did not see in the theater. But I had a chance to watch it. And I watched it at the tail end of my sort of marathon this weekend. And so this is sort of colors my review a little bit. And this is Martha Marcy May Marlene, which I call Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
I like that.
It's easier to remember. Because actually, I couldn't remember the name of the movie until I saw it. And there's sort of like there's an order to it.
Yeah.
To the names. But when I didn't... you know, when I got the screener, I'm like, well, it's MMMMM, you know.
Yeah.
I think you don't know that. MMMM. Yeah. So anyways, in Elizabeth Olsen plays a girl who escapes from a cult and faces paranoia as she fears they're coming after her.
What's going on?
She's here now. She seems okay.
What'd she say?
She had some boyfriend. They were living in the Catskills. Where are we? Connecticut?
Well, how far are we?
From what?
Yesterday.
You mean from where I picked you up? About 3 hours. Why?
Do you ever have that feeling where you can't tell if something's a memory or if it's something you dreamed?
Did you get a chance to see this? Because it did open a couple weeks ago.
No. And I think I'm okay.
You're not racing out. This is not a man cave movie.
No, not really.
I said that like Austin Powers. I'm like, this is not a man cave movie, baby.
Movie.
Man cave movie. What's funny is this movie is, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a great thriller. And it is. And I think I did myself a disservice by watching it at the tail end of my stint of nonstop award film screener over Thanksgiving.
Oops.
Well, because there's so many movies now, and at this time of year, so many movies come out, and they're all heavy dramas that are deliberately slowly paced, that have people looking. There's a lot of shots of people acting by just looking. You know, like if I had watched Drive, did you see Drive?
About the Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that's a total man cave movie.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
That one's deliberately paced and a bit slow. But I saw it in September, so. It wasn't sandwiched between other drawn out heavy dramas.
Right.
And I think that sort of colored my view of Marsha, because I'm just like, okay, let's get on with it. And it does have some massive logic holes. Now, part of it is it's one of those movies that you don't know what she's experiencing is a dream or a flashback or sort of a little bit of a twist on reality, but it's not as overt as your standard twisting, you know, sort of mind-bending movies.
Okay.
So you don't know how much of what's in the movie is real, or a memory, or a changed memory, or a dream, or just a delusion.
Hmm.
So I guess that can explain the giant logic gaps and the problems in the sort of story, as I see.
Right.
I mean, it works. It's an okay movie, but
yeah, that sounds kind of decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies that when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray in like February,
mm-hmm.
check it out. Then, you know, I wouldn't watch like, well, here, and this is the order of the. Hold on, I'm going to pull up my list here. I actually have a list, because if you go to fatguysinthemovies.com and you click on the right, there's a thing that says Kevin does award season, and I'm watching all these award movies and just kind of tweeting or writing my thoughts about them, capsule reviews. Sort of like, did you see, well, I don't know if you, because you live in North Dakota, which nothing happens over there, do they?
Not really. We get flooded once in a while.
Every now and then flooded. I've been through that area. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
But my marathon was, I saw The Rum Diary, The Descendants, Midnight in Paris, Shame, My Week with Marilyn, Marsha, and I capped it off with Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is completely unlike any of the award films. But yeah, here I saw Martha at the end of that run. I mean, it was Shame, Marilyn, then Martha. So it's really amazingly edited, because it's really thought through and directed. It's just, it's not as strong as I would have hoped, especially by seeing how some people are going gaga over it.
Right.
So I don't know.
Can't win them all, I guess.
Are you a fan of award films at all? Do you care?
It depends. They're kind of hit or miss. So.
See, well, that's the way I am. I'm one of those people who, I'm not your typical reviewer, because there's a lot of reviewers that are just like, oh, I can't wait for the Iron Lady to come out. And I'm like, oh.
Eh.
It's like, isn't this just the King's Speech with a woman?
Right, exactly.
But it's, so I like award season because it's exciting, but I also get kind of, I'm just like, oh, another movie that takes itself so seriously.
Right. Like I saw True Grit last year, so like I
which
really,
is wonderful.
Yeah, I love True Grit, and then we checked out Black Swan, and I kind of wish I had never seen Black Swan.
See, I liked Black Swan, but probably for different reasons than some people thought.
I liked one scene of Black Swan.
I bet I can guess what scene that would be. Who didn't? Come on, seriously.
Right.
No, but I mean, like, there's a lot of award. Like, I loved 127 Hours, but there's a lot of other stuff out, like Rabbit Hole, you know.
Right.
So, let's move on. Oh, Martha, Marsha is a kind of sucks. Next, we're gonna play the trailer, and this is for Shame, where Michael Fassbender plays a sex addict struggling to come to terms with his own obsession.
How'd it go last night?
Good night.
Uh huh. Let's do it again tonight.
And my sister's playing downtown somewhere.
Can I stay for a few days? I'm so angry.
That's my boss.
Hey, do you want to play?
Your hard drive is filthy.
I'm trying to help you.
How are you helping me, huh? You come in here and you're a weight on me. You're a burden.
We're family. We're meant to look after each other.
22 miles of hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground. Crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. On that note of leaving the on the shame trailer, we had our own little shameful incident here during the break where I think I made Jared very uncomfortable.
A little bit. It's not bad.
That's the show is not a good show unless somebody feels uncomfortable.
Well, now it's a good show.
I'm thinking of starting a new podcast, actually, and I've got a perfect name for it. And it's actually, again, ties in really well with shame. I'm going to call it the Pantless Podcast.
Ooh.
And it because I don't wear pants.
Really?
I consider well, I'm going to wear pants. Let me rephrase that. It's like me going, I don't wear pants. Who wears pants? I didn't wear pants at my wedding. Ass cheeks hanging out, cottage cheese and hairy buttocks and everything. No, that's a good name for this episode. I think I'll call that. Hairy cheeks and cottage cheese and hairy buttocks. Cottage. I'm making a note of that because that's awesome.
I'm glad I could be a part of this. It's fantastic.
Anyways, what?
Nothing.
You say it like that's rude. Are you kidding me? That was actually something that was edited out of the Bible at one point, not because it was crass, but because it just took too long. It was. I think the original verse was Jesus wept about here cottage cheese and hairy buttocks.
You know, I remember that actually from a History Channel.
I have an annotated version of the Bible, and it's in red. You know, it says like it's everything in Bible when it's annotated, like write whatever Jesus said in red, which he didn't say this. I mean, he said it in what, like Latin? He didn't say Jesus. You know, so E pluribus, cottage cheese, and hairy buttocks. Anyways. How did we get on that? Jesus Christ. What the hell happened? All right.
Shame.
Let's get back to something less offensive. This movie is causing quite a stir because it's an NC-17 film.
Yeah.
We get like one of these every year or so. Last year, the big one was Blue Valentine,
mm-hmm.
which was rated, I don't know why it was rated NC-17. I think it was because this is what's so stupid. I'm like got like 10 things I'm trying to say here at once. The MPAA. I have no love for the MPAA. I think they're a bunch of idiots. But I see it as a necessary thing because it gives the theaters an excuse to then say we now have a standard. Because if they didn't, then you'd have shifting standards, and then at some point you'd have some government worker saying we need to have some sort of government agency rating this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't want that. The last thing you need is some government entity saying this is good or this is bad.
Right.
And you know what? All the MPAA does is it really just influences what is seen in the major theaters.
Yeah.
And I don't care what show, but no one's going to see Shame. Shame is not going to have a wide release.
No.
I mean, it'll be out there, but it's not going to be playing next door to Puss in Boots.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, that would be an amazing double feature.
And they can kind of tie the two together.
I know. It does. They do have sort of similar themes, don't they? Their hair is covered in hair at certain points. Anyways, So in Blue Valentine, same thing. No one was ever going to... In Blue Valentine was not going to get this wide 300 count release. It was a niche movie at best.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the last one? I mean, they had Hatchet 2, which was unrated. And I remember they had... It's been a while since they did. They did like a dirty shame. I think it was actually called A Dirty Shame. It was the John Waters film about like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
And that one French filmmaker or Spanish filmmaker about the kids in France and the during the new wave of the French new wave of filmmaking. Oh, what was that called?
Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
No. Have you seen Dirty Dancing Havana Nights?
Hell no.
Oh, it was so bad because you know what that movie starts off. It says inspired. You know, it was like, because you know you have like based on a true story, which never means it's really. It's sort of like loosely based on a true story.
Yeah.
Then they have, and then when they say inspired by actual events, you're like, oh, that's even worse than based on a true story. This one had something even weaker than that, and the reason it's. There's no truth in Havana Nights. It's just, it takes place at the time that the Cuban Missile Crisis does. So it had as much basis in fact as like X-Men First Class did. But the only person who went on to do anything, I think Diego Luna was in it, and he's had a little bit of a blip of a career. But I think it's the girl who was Romola something or other. She's British and she's gorgeous, but like sort of like in a British sort of way.
Oh, okay.
She's on the show The Hour, and I think she was in One Day, which we'll talk about later, and I don't know, something else. But that was a terrible movie. Gosh, you just completely sidetracked me again.
Sorry.
No, it was I forget what this other movie was called, the NC-17. But I think the MPAA still has their head completely up their ass. For as much as they don't like anything up your ass in a movie, the MPAA totally has its head up their ass. Because like Blue Valentine, I think he at one point he goes down on her, and then there's another point where he's like, and we're in the middle segment. He's not even like fucking her in the ass. He's just taking her from behind.
Okay, little doggy.
Yeah, they don't like doggy style.
What?
It's like it's considered crass. They don't allow it. In fact, the movie, they don't like doggy style and they don't like oral sex. Because I remember the movie, this one was the one with Robert Downey Jr. and Heather Graham. What was it? Two guys and a girl. No, guy. Two girls and a guy. Two girls and a guy. Two okay. girls and a guy. And it was a dumb movie, but it was NC-17. And it was NC-17 just because he goes down on one of the girls, is Heather Graham or that other girl who's like the Natasha Gregor Watson, whatever.
No idea.
Robert Wagner's daughter, I think.
Oh, okay.
And she, but it was funny, if you watch the movie, he goes down on her in the most asinine way. There's no way there's actually any contact happening because she's like standing up.
And he's like kissing her belly button or something.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no way you're anywhere near the vagina at that point. But in Shame, what's great about Shame is Steve McQueen, who made it, not the real famous Steve McQueen, and not that douchebag from the Vampire Diaries, but the artist Steve McQueen and the director. He made the movie, and I give him credit for it. He's just like, you can tell watching the movie, he's like, I don't fucking care if it gets an NC-17. He's like, I'm making this movie the way it is, because it is like, the movie starts off, and it's like, the first shot of the movie is Fassbender lying in bed. And it's like, then he's like, and he's just, boom, there's my penis. He gets out of bed. And dude, that man needs some manscaping because he is hairier than Robin Williams' forearms.
No.
And down there he is. Like the rest of his body's relatively, it's not hairless, but it's not growing. But Jesus Christ, his penis. It's a good thing he's got a long penis because you wouldn't see it. So it's like 5 minutes of his cock, and then it's him having a sex addiction. So he's dealing with the fact that he does a lot of stuff. And so, I mean, they have the rear entry thing, not rear entry, but taking a woman from behind.
Right.
So that's, I'm like, well, there you go. There's the NC-17.
Yeah, that, guaranteed that, it.
I would have loved to have been sitting in the room while the MPAA was watching it, just watch them just shit their pants.
Oh my God.
And just to have him say, was he even try? Yeah. And there's like one scene where he's like, not only does he go down on a woman, but he like goes down on her like from behind and starts eating her ass. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something that had to be taken out for the PG-13 edit.
Oh God, yeah.
So, but all the cocks and ass and, you know, penetration aside, I actually liked this movie. I thought it was well done. I thought it knew what it was doing, and I thought it was a very realistic portrayal of addiction. However, whatever your drug of choice is, and in this one, it's his drug of choice is sex. But it shows the struggle, and it shows the internal struggle. And while it's a little bit deliberately paced, and it can get dull. There's a couple scenes where it just kind of goes out of hand in terms of being dull.
Okay,
but. You know, otherwise it's a very well done movie. I was actually quite impressed with it. And Fassbender's fantastic in it, and not just that his giant penis intimidates. And Carrie Mulligan's in it, and you see everything on her too, which is kind of nice. Bonus by the fact that she's like not super like anorexia skinny like she is in. She was pretty skinny in Drive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw that Wall Street sequel.
No.
She was pretty skinny in that too, but she put on some weight, which is actually pretty daring considering the fact that she has a couple scenes without clothes on her, or very little. Like one scene, she's got a shirt on, but you can see right through it because it's going to be NC-17 anyway.
So, right. Yeah. I'm liking this movie more and more.
Well, you know what's funny though is I saw it described as an erotic drama, and I'm like, it's not a whole lot of eroticism in it. It's Even as bawdy as the sex is, it's not in a scintillating sort of way. It's he the way McQueen handles it is you feel bad for him. You feel dirty watching it. It's not like an attractive thing to watch.
Hmm.
You know, I mean it's sort of like, I mean it's not as extreme as this, but I'm going to give it an example. If you've ever seen a movie that has like a big rape scene in it,
right?
And you're like, well, that's not attractive. You know, it's not
it's just uncomfortable.
You're not like, you're uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable to watch. You're not like popping wood and going, why am I excited at this? You know?
Yeah, this is awkward. So,
yeah, like, sorry, Mom. should not have picked this movie.
Yeah, watch on Thanksgiving. Okay.
I should have brought shame to Thanksgiving dinner and just watched my entire family's head explode.
Grandma, check it out.
Hey, my grandmother would be the one be like, what is that? Oh, look at that.
Oh, look at Fassbender's wiener.
Yeah, look at that Fassbender. I'd like to bring that Fassbender around here. You'd like to bend me fast. For some reason, my grandmother talks like a gangster from a 40s movie. Hey, I'd like to Fassbender that guy right around his back.
I'm Michael Fassbender, yeah. See? He's got a Robin Williams wiener. Oh.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm going to knock me out and face. Back me around. I'm sorry, Grandmother. She doesn't listen to the show.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, but no, I like Shame. I thought Shame was good. It's not your typical movie. It's relatively typical for award season. I'd like to see Michael Fassbender get a little bit of recognition for some awards on it, because I think he does a lot, and he's a great actor. He's one of the big great actors of his generation, and I think you're going to see a lot. Well, there's not much more you can see of him,
right?
But you're going to see him more often.
There you go.
Shall we move on?
I guess.
So yeah, shame rocks, but don't show. What's funny is I was tweeting to Elizabeth Rapp, who's been on the show in the past, actually relatively recently, like 2 weeks ago, and she was saying she watched it with her mom, and I'm like, why?
Yeah,
that's a bad idea.
Yeesh.
So, do you have anything? Let's talk about box office really quick. From last week, box office winners. Do you remember what won the box office?
Unfortunately. Twilight. Mm-hmm. Breaking Dawn.
Well, here's the thing. It suffered this typical 70% drop that Twilight always suffers.
Yeah.
And so these movies don't hang on long. I still am doubtful it's going to make. I don't think it's going to crack $300 million domestically.
Really?
Yeah. The last one barely cracked $300 million. It like made $302 million.
This one just seemed like it. I don't know. Had a lot more going for it. I don't know.
The Twilight Breaking Dawn is a crappy movie. But it's dropping like a stone. It's just, and here's the thing: Muppets came in second, with a very respectable weekend of almost $30 million, and then for the 5-day, like over $41 million. And that's, you know, that's good. That's very good. The Muppets, that's doing well. And here's the thing. It was made on a $45 million budget, which was smart, because if they made that movie for $110 million, like Breaking Dawn, it would be considered a struggle. But Muppet now is just cleaning up from the next, you know, it hasn't from now until Christmas to make money.
Yeah, and it will.
But here's the thing where Hollywood, this is where Hollywood really fucked up this week. Twilight was number one. Number two was The Muppets. Number three was Happy Feet 2. Number four was Arthur Christmas. And number five was Hugo. The first movie was Twilight. Okay, let's just set that aside.
Mm-hmm.
The next four movies, which made a combined total for just the three-day weekend of over 60-some million dollars, were all family films.
Yep.
Oh, Hollywood, all the studios, which was Disney, Warner Brothers, Sony, and Paramount, screwed up by flooding their own market and competing with each other in the marketplace. If they would have just had, like, the Muppets and... Yeah, Hugo was in limited release. So it was in smaller release, like 1,200 theaters.
Yeah.
It was like the Muppets and The Sitter this weekend instead of next week. The Muppets would have made so much more money.
Yeah.
Or if it was Arthur Christmas would have made more money this week. I think that the fact that you had Twilight, which is going to do that, and then the next four movies are family films. They saturated the market for so many weeks. We had no family films, and then suddenly we have like four.
Yeah, exactly, and spread it too thin, man. Well,
yeah, and then if you go down, you look at Puss in Boots at number eight, and Jack and Jill, which is an awful, awful, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad movie, is being marketed as a family film.
Hmm.
So even then, in the top 10, you have six. Arguably categorized as family films. What do you think is going to win next week? This is the big thing. What's going to happen next weekend?
I don't know. I'm going to guess the Muppets move up.
I think the Muppets is going to win the weekend.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. The Muppets, I will bet you anything, it's not going to suffer much of a drop off of its three-day to three-day. I bet you it's going to make about 25 million.
And then people are going to get sick of seeing Twilight crap, so that'll drop.
Well, but again, Twilight's, even if it has an incredibly modest 50% drop, it's still going to be 20 million or less.
Yeah.
And it's going to drop more than that because that's what Twilight does. This isn't even a statement about the quality of Twilight. Oh, by the way, the total domestic gross of the last movie was 300,000, 300,531,000. So it barely made 300 million with a similar opening. But it drops 45 to 60% every week, you know, just statistically. So I think you're looking at 20 million or less for Twilight. And I think the Muppets is gonna do about the same, maybe a little bit less. So I think you're looking at 20 to 25 million for the Muppets,
mm-hmm.
and because it's got great word of mouth. So I think I'm gonna say the Muppets is gonna win the weekend. It's gonna be like Muppets, Twilight, and you know, then I think Happy Feet 2 and Arthur's gonna drop faster than Hugo will.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So I think Hugo's going to do well. Hugo was in limited release. It's getting fantastic reviews. I think it's going to have legs. I think it's going to be one of those movies that a lot of people didn't quite know what to think. And mm-hmm. And I think it's going to continue with this $10 million a week for, you know, through Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction. My prediction is Muppets are going to be number one.
Yep.
And then you're going to have... then it'll be Twilight. Then it'll be Hugo. That's my prediction.
Boom. Sounds good.
And then Tower Heist is going to come
out. It's going to come out of nowhere.
You know, I got a screener for Tower Heist.
Nice.
That confounds me. I got a screener for Fast Five, which I thought was kind of interesting, but that was for the Broadcast Film Critics Association. Well, and I think they're pushing for like best action film. I think that was what the card came out with. It says for consideration as best action film and best ensemble. That's the only thing I can think they're really pushing for Tower Heist, but either best ensemble, maybe best comedy thing. I don't know, but Tower Heist?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like getting a Harold and Kumar screener, which I liked it, but I can't imagine anyone doing any sort of awards push for that.
No.
So anyways, anything else that's kind of stewing in your brain that you want to point out, talk about, anything that's irritating you? It doesn't even have to be about movies. Like I said, this is sort of the pantless podcast section where we just sit down. I think we got off on that. I have to explain why I talk about not wearing pants. I do wear pants.
Okay.
I just don't wear proper pants. I wear like lounge pants.
Like leggings?
Like jeggings. I'm like Conan O'Brien wearing jeggings.
Yeah.
No, like I get these, you know, these like the sleep pants. These you always people a lot of guys will get them and they're like plaid or checkered. I get like Superman and Star Wars ones that you get at Walmart.
Okay.
I shop at Walmart.
Yeah, that's cool.
And sometimes I have to bring pepper spray to get those cuz, you know, it's competitive.
Yeah. No doubt.
But and I will, like, if it's late at night, if it's like 3 a.m, I gotta run to Walmart for something. I'll just be in my lounge pants because I'm like, who the hell cares? I've seen the way if you watch peopleofwalmart.com.
Oh yeah.
Wear less.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Literally nothing. Yeah.
So I'll go out and I'll run out, but I won't like or my family on a Saturday morning. We'll all in our PJs just go to the donut shop and get donuts at like Krispy Kreme.
Sweet.
But I don't wear real pants very often because I'm just lounging around the house. I'm always wearing lounge pants. That is my work clothes. And you know it's bad when you get to the point where I was literally on my way. I was getting out of a car. I do tutoring on the side. I was getting out of my car and heading to, there's a Panera Bread, which is where I meet these people to tutor. As I'm walking in, I'm like, am I wearing pants?
You got to ask yourself.
I looked down. I'm like, yes, I have jeans on. If you honestly have to ask yourself that, you have a great job.
Yeah. Jealous. Super jealous.
Or you could just show up. You know, you could be like, I'm going to be, well, you know, it's like the Pope. Does he wear pants?
I don't think he does.
He's in robes all the time. I bet you he's, you know, and he's in Italy. He's in Rome. It's warmer in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be free balling it.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the Pope's balls?
Without getting killed. I don't.
What, wait, are there people? Is that a thing? I mean, I understand if we're like talking about Muhammad's balls. Yeah. I mean, the magical studio in the sky will be attacked.
Oh God.
But the Pope, I mean, do the Catholics really care? If they're like, he does not have a taint. He's like a sand doll down there. Yeah. When he's canonized as a Pope.
The Pope is a eunuch.
It's not like he can use them anymore. Well, I mean,
it depends.
Yeah, it's farther down the line. I think the Pope, I'm pretty sure the Pope's not out there molesting young kids.
Mm.
I would hope so. Not. I would hope not.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm just throwing it out there. I think he leaves that to the younger, or to the lower on the totem pole sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you like beer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Because this is a good question for you, since you do the movies in the man cave. Okay. You have a lot of beer in your man cave?
I do, yes.
Do you masturbate in your man cave?
No, I do not.
No, I do not. The pause means absolutely. It's like that scene from I Love You Man?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is where I jack off.
Yeah, like in this chair.
This is my spot, man. It's better than leaving like wads of Kleenex around the house. Jesus. Anyways, okay, we'll avoid the discussion about pleasuring yourself in your man cave. What's your favorite beer?
Sam Adams is pretty decent. Guinness.
Sam Adams is good.
Guinness. Dark stuff.
Dark stuff. I like it. I like my beer black. Like my women. I apologize to everybody who's listening right now. Do you like American beer? I mean, you mentioned Guinness, and well, Sam Adams is American beer.
Yeah,
Guinness is
American.
Not. Do you like just regular old Sam Adams, or do you like the darker or amber or what?
Whatever.
Whatever.
It's beer, man.
Whatever gets me drunk. Because here's the thing, I've been trying out different types of beer. And some of my favorites, I like Sam Adams. I like Shock Top. Do you drink Shock Top?
I've had it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Shock Top's really good. I've also recently, they just recently brought into Ohio and started distributing in Ohio is Yuengling. Do you drink Yuengling? Do you even get that out there?
I don't think we get that out in these parts.
It's the oldest American brewery, and it's sort of like the it's what Coors was back in the 70s, although it's way better than Coors. Not to compare on quality, but if you ever saw like Smokey and the Bandit, that's the whole thing is they're smuggling Coors
right
east of the Mississippi, and that's kind of part of the point. They're into Arkansas. They got to go into Arkansas or Georgia or wherever they're going, and that's the way Yuengling is. Yuengling used to not be available in Ohio, at least, and just very recently. And it's a really good beer. It's relatively cheap too. It's the oldest American brewery apparently.
Huh.
So I'm trying different types, and like, I like Heineken and my wife drinks Corona and that's fine. But I've tried different types, and I think what I'm going to try here, cause I was watching one of the movies we'll talk about in the DVD segment. I was watching Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And what's great about that is they have a real high standard of beer. It's either Pabst Blue Ribbon in a very non-ironic way.
Right.
It's not because they're hipsters. It's either Pabst Blue Ribbon or just generic beer. Generic movie beer. And I'm like, I've never had Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I do not want to drink it because I'm a hipster. I'm not drinking it as an ironic sort of way. But I'm curious to drink it because Frank from Blue Velvet says it's the only thing you should drink. So, have you ever had Pabst? What do you think of Pabst?
I have never had a PBR.
I'm curious. Well, and that led me to think, I'm like, you know what else I want to try? I want to try Stroh's. Because my grandfather used to drink Stroh's. I don't even know if I can still get it in Ohio. But for two reasons. First of all, spelled backwards, it's shorts.
Oh. Mm. But you don't wear pants, right?
And I don't wear pants. So, I will have to get rid of the shorts by drinking it. But the other reason I want to try Stroh's is I'm just curious of these crappy, famous brands of American beer, like Old Milwaukee. And like, I was with my in-laws and over Thanksgiving, and I was talking to my brothers-in-law and my father-in-law about beer. And one of my brothers-in-law, who's, how can I say this delicately? Not that he's online and going to listen to this, but let's just say he likes his beer, and he likes his Budweiser signs, and he likes his NASCAR.
Oh, okay.
Am I painting a picture here?
Picture is painted.
Tattoos, you know, piercings.
Mm-hmm. Mullet, gap teeth.
Yeah, well, yeah. He doesn't quite have the gap teeth, but he embraces that culture, we'll say.
Okay.
And he was referring to Miller High Life. Have you ever had Miller High Life?
Yes.
Is it as he describes the champagne of American beer?
I was not a big fan of it. No,
I'm not sure. Jared, if you're calling Miller High Life the champagne of American beer,
champagne,
I challenge you to spell champagne of American beer. So here's what I'm gonna do, because normally I go buy like a 12 pack of bottles or 18 back or whatever, and I don't drink a whole lot. I drink occasionally, and I'll buy one every couple weeks. I'm thinking of going we're gonna start live. We do live tweets on Saturdays, and we're gonna be live tweeting Santa Claus the movie this Saturday with Dudley Moore. And I'm thinking of getting just these, like, those huge pint cans of beer of like just all the shitty American brands. Like, get one of PBR, get one of Stroh's if I can find it, Old Milwaukee. You know, Miller High Life, the champagne of American beer.
If you haven't heard, yes.
As I'm told. And it's going to cost me like $6 for like 10 of these. And I'm just going to, that's what I'm going to drink this weekend. I think that's what I'm going to do. And we'll see if it's all because Frank from Blue Velvet.
Well, I mean,
it's not because I'm a hipster. I'm not going to wear a scarf and a wool hat or tight jeans because I don't wear pants. I'm not going after skinny jeans. Although I have been curious. I have wanted to go try on skinny jeans and have somebody videotape me doing it.
That would be awesome. That would be sweet.
They'd be like, what are you trying to do? You're going to try. I'm like, no, I just think it's because I once did. Have you ever done Pilates? You're in shape, though, right? You're not fat.
No, I'm well, yeah, I've done Pilates.
You've done Pilates? Are you good at Pilates? I mean, is it something you can do?
You know, it's not something I would do often.
How much do you weigh? Are you in good shape?
Yeah, I'm in pretty decent shape. I go running. I do that stuff, so.
Oh my God, running? Is something chasing you? Do you have tigers in your neighborhood?
Hey, you haven't heard of the West Fargo Tigers?
I did a Pilates class. Now, here, you got to understand, do you ever get one of those ornaments for your Christmas tree where it's like the Santa Claus, and it's one of those red globes, and they put a head and arms, legs, and make it a Santa, or like an apple Santa?
Yeah.
That is what I look like. Imagine that doing Pilates, because if for those out there who don't know what a Pilates are core muscles, and it's all about your core, which is kind of like from your between your nipples and your genitals. That's right, what it focuses right. on. So there's a lot of like lifting your legs in the air and lifting your back, and it's like you're balancing on your back and your tush and all that kind of stuff. It does not work. It is there are physics involved, and where gravity is distributed in your body. I did what it was the most comical thing I've tried. I mean, I wasn't trying to be comical. God bless the woman who was teaching, because she didn't blink an eye. But I didn't show up again. So maybe someday I'll have somebody videotape me doing Pilates.
Do it.
Yeah. With that, let's move on to the infamous Fat Guy 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you have anything else you want to talk about, or if I run those discussions in the ground.
Did we cover you doing Pilates?
We covered Pilates. We covered Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And you not wearing pants. I think we're good.
Me with cottage cheese, Jesus Christ, all that stuff. All right, let's move on to the Fat Guy 5. And this is the 5 anticipated December movies, because we don't have anything really new opening this week except Shame.
Right.
Very limited release. These are the 5 movies of December. December looks like it's going to be pretty strong. I'm looking forward to it. So you start off the list. What do we got coming up?
We got Jonah Hill and The Sitter.
Or The Shitter.
I don't know. It kind of looks like it'd be all right. It's going to suck, but...
Is Judd Apatow involved at all in this?
Probably. It's probably a safe guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Jury's out on this one. It's a Fox release, so we're not getting an early screening of it.
Womp womp.
So we'll see. I'll check it out. But yeah, it might be funny.
Yeah.
It might be funny.
It's got a young
girl. Have you called
the
number? Have you called the number from the poster?
No.
I might call the number for the poster. And,
oh, jeez.
It actually has a number on it that if you call, and it's Jonah Hill.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'd conference it in now, but I think I would ruin the thing. So, anyways, the next one is Sherlock Holmes, Book of Shadows. I think I'm one of the few people who's actually really anticipating this in terms of like sort of like people in the blogosphere, because I think a lot of people are dismissing this as a joke.
Yeah, I'm totally excited about this.
Did you like? I like the first one. Now that I know what to expect, I think I'm going to be expecting a little more from this movie.
Right.
Than the first.
Yeah, I really like the first one. So.
I've got the Blu-ray. I got to pull that out and watch the new one or the original before I see the new one. Not the original. It's hard to say it's an original.
Yeah. The first Robert Downey Jr. one.
Yeah. It's goofy, wacky, and the thing is, for people, what's nice about it is if you don't like sort of where they went with this in terms of Sherlock Holmes, because my mom's a huge Sherlock Holmes fan,
mm-hmm.
and she did not like what they did with this movie. For those of you, go watch Sherlock, the BBC series. That's a much more true adaptation.
Okay,
but it's a great series. But if you want the goofy, crazy, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels version, we can watch these Sherlock Holmes movies.
Nice.
What's the next one coming up?
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig. Can't go wrong there.
Well, yeah, you can.
No,
dude,
you
seriously.
Can't.
Did you see Dreamhouse?
No, I guess I didn't see Dreamhouse.
Once again, I can pretty much just balance out any of your claims of awesomeness with a crappy movie that he's been in. The Invasion. Not good.
Stop it. Daniel Craig is awesome.
He is awesome. Just not all of his movies are. Well, so you know what's interesting about... Have you seen the Swedish version?
No. I saw it on Netflix and I did not click on it. My bad.
Yeah. It's 2.5 hours long and it's subtitled because it is in Swedish.
Jeez.
So you do. It's not something you can play in the background because you got to read. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen of the early 18-minute preview that they had, the 9-minute preview that they had like a couple months ago, it looks incredibly close to it. And I blow hot and cold on Fincher. I did not like his last couple films. I wasn't a big fan of The Social Network. I wasn't a big fan of Benjamin Button. I really liked Zodiac. But, you know, I'm not one of these people who are like, oh, my God, David Fincher. Oh, I can do no wrong.
Spooge everywhere, yeah.
Vinegar strokes on David Fincher. No, But I am looking forward to this. I think this is going to be the movie that I've been waiting for him to make since Zodiac.
Cool.
And what's interesting is Rumi, Noomi Rapace, who played the original, is in Sherlock Holmes, which opens like 5 days earlier.
Neat tie-in.
Maybe not in the rapey sort of way, you know, but you know, take out the rape and it's, we've been through that. Not rape. I haven't been raped.
We've Have been? You? No.
No. Not by the Pope. The next one is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. I'm anticipating this cautiously.
Agreed.
And what makes you nervous about this? Because I've known people who are like, oh my God, this is gonna be awesome.
It's Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. coming off of a pretty long hiatus of not doing anything awesome.
Yeah. Well, what was his last real awesomeness? Was maybe Tropic Thunder?
Right.
Is that fair to say? That's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3.5, actually, because it was the summer.
So, from what you can see in the previews, it looks really sweet. Heard he does his own stunts and most of it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
He does his own stunts. He falls in front of a blue screen and everything else is added. There's no real stunts in this movie. This isn't like James Bond of the 80s when the people were literally jumping off of buildings.
He supposedly climbs on a building in this movie. I don't know.
I don't believe it.
No. But
I'm sure he climbs on the sidewalk of a building. He climbs up the steps. The thing I am anticipating, because it looks good, and I'm really interested to see what Brad Bird does in the live action realm. Because I think Brad Bird has done some fantastic movies. I mean, The Iron Giant was really good, mm-hmm. and The Incredibles was incredible.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. A little bit different than what you'd have with Ratatouille. But, you know, he's been working in animation for so long, but I'd love to see what he does with a live-action film. But then again, there's that whole Tom Cruise factor.
Right.
But
it's long-haired Tom Cruise, and that Tom Cruise is always badass. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I have a feeling, what I'm afraid is going to happen is I'm afraid it's going to get iRoboted. The sense that, and by that I mean, you had Alex Proyas, who's a brilliant director, who's awesome at what he does, and then he's got Will Smith coming in, producing, and starring, and then demanding to have him be cool and Will Smithy. And what you got was this castrated version of what Alex Proyas could put together.
Right.
And I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen with Mission Impossible, that there's going to be too much meddling by Tom Cruise. Hmm. And the guy's jumped the shark in his career. I don't think this, even if this movie does super well, it's not revitalizing him.
No.
So.
Agreed.
Anyways, but I am looking forward to it. Okay, last one.
Adventures of Tintin.
Yes. Did you ever watch? Do you know much about Tintin?
I watched it when I was a kid.
Like the old 91, the stuff from 91, those old TV shows.
Yeah. Yep.
That just came out last week. Shout Factory just released that DVD, a two-disc set.
Perfect timing.
And that's a neat little show, and it has that throwback. It feels very 40-ish.
Yep.
You know, it feels very early 20th century. Even though those movies were made, you know, it's just about 20 years ago. Those cartoons that we're talking about. Looking forward to, I can't wait to see what Steven Spielberg does. I'm hoping that his involvement shows that Robert Zemeckis didn't know what the hell he was doing with motion capture. You know, because Zemeckis was really pioneering motion captures, but as much as he could. And while there were some decent movies, like I thought that Christmas Carol he did a couple years ago was okay. But Zemeckis, I mean, he just really screwed the pooch with Marge Needs Moms, and he doesn't care about the Uncanny Valley. And at least the images I've seen from Tintin look real.
Yeah, it looks really, really, really good, I think.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm waiting. I can't wait to see good old-fashioned Spielberg adventure again.
Yep. And again, isn't Daniel Craig in that, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, come on.
Is he? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he is, yes.
Is he? I'm not aware of this sort of thing. I don't follow. Because Daniel Craig apparently means awesomeness. Carrie Elwes is in it, though. last one on the list. Well, no, that was the last one on the list. We have an honorable mention, courtesy of Jared, and that is Alvin and the Chipmunks. Chipwrecked.
Looks awful.
God. Are you going to get chip-faced and go see this movie?
God, I'm going to have to.
I've got kids. I haven't seen this movie no matter what.
Yeah.
I may be driving out of town to go see this movie.
God, my luck, it's the only thing that's going to be coming to Fargo.
That's, well, you know, hey, Fargo. Fargo loves their chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyways, with that, we better go, and we got to wrap up with the last segment.
Yep.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in our final segment. We did our fantastic middle segment, which was very offensive and annoying.
And pantsless.
We apologize to everybody who listened and anyone who decides to then go back after listening to us on the radio. We talked about Michael Fassbender and Shame and what you see there.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about my wardrobe at work. We talked about anticipated movies. We talked about beer and why American beer can be good or bad.
Yeah.
And now, what's coming up next?
We have the world famous DVD roundup.
Awesome.
I hope I did that all right.
You did that perfectly. I'm impressed because I didn't prep you for that. I usually have to prep people.
Yeah.
But yeah, this week we've got some decent DVDs coming out. You had like Our Idiot Brother, which was Paul Rudd as an idiot brother of three lovely ladies. 30 Minutes or Less, which I wasn't wild about. That's the one with Jesse Eisenberg being forced to do a bank robbery because they strap a bomb to his chest.
Right.
And then Another Earth, which is about Another Earth. I should have been getting a screener of that. I didn't get it. So maybe it's coming. Cool. Yeah. Who knows? But the other one, you know, since we have, you know, what time of year is it? You know, you've got after Thanksgiving, you got Christmas music on the radio.
Yeah.
You got people pepper spraying each other at Walmart to get woo-hoo video games.
That's right.
And that means that it is the time for horror comedies to come out on DVD and Blu-ray. These are my top movies of the week. By the way, we're not talking Smurfs. That's next week. As long as it's not out, I'm not acknowledging it.
There you go.
The first one is Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is a hilarious film about sort of a misunderstood perception of these redneck hillbillies that these college students think are trying to kill them. And it is a brilliant movie. It's very funny. It's actually got a lot of heart. It's very sweet. It's extremely funny. It's got gore in it. The special features, what's neat about the special features is they have one feature where they re-edit the movie down to like 16 minutes and they tell it completely from the college kid's point of view.
Oh, sweet.
So you really sort of see why they react the way they do in general to Tucker and Dale.
Very cool.
So this was on demand and it had a very limited theatrical run, but it's now on DVD and Blu-ray. I think it might, I'm not sure. It might be on Netflix Instant too. But the other one that is, I think even better is Chillerama. Which, are you familiar with this one?
I am not.
It is a movie, it's a horror anthology. And it like has like, what's his name? Is it Adam Ripkin and Adam Green, the guy who did Hatchet? And
okay.
A couple other people. And it's got a couple directors who work on it, and they're not like huge. Probably Adam Green for Hatchet is probably the best known outside of just hardcore horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this movie about this drive-in theater. They're playing an all-night horror movie marathon, and then it has the short films. And like they have one, like one of them is The Diary of Anne Frankenstein, just so wrong. But it has Joel David Moore play Hitler in it, which, if you know who he is, he's a real tall, skinny guy. So, I mean, the fact that he's playing Hitler is just ludicrous on its own.
Yeah. Wow.
And they do things like they have the entire cast, it's all in German, but they don't have him actually speak German. They have him speak sort of like German gibberish. Because they never teach him German. They just have him. It is a hilarious movie. And then they have each episode is like a throwback. One's a throwback to monster movies from the 50s. One's a throwback to sort of like the Beach Bingo movies from the 60s. And like I said, Diary of Anne Frankenstein is a throwback to the 30s and 40s. I'm skirting around the names of some of these films based on the fact that we're on the radio in Wyoming. So it's funny. It is hilarious. It's offensive and it's raunchy and it's definitely not rated. It would have gotten an NC-17 rating just for some of the imagery, but it's goofy, silly comic type stuff. So it's nothing. It's not like a Serbian film or something like that. Very funny movie. Nice. So check it out if you get a chance. I do believe that is on Netflix Instant as well as DVD and Blu-ray. What do you got?
I kept my list nice and short this week. I have the release of Smallville. The final season, and I believe they have a big old box set with all the seasons coming out, too.
They do, and in case you want to see him still not wear the super pants.
God, that's so disappointing.
Did you watch the series on TV?
Yeah.
You watch it all the way to the bitter end?
I didn't. Once I found out that it was a series finale, then I caught the last episode. But
yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, the show's changed. I think, though, that this has been this has been truer to the Superman legend and better at dealing with the Superman characters than any of the movies really ever were.
Yeah, definitely. I think so too.
Yeah, definitely. So the stinker of the week is One Day, starring Anne Hathaway with her Emma British governor accent. It's terrible. With her and that other guy. I don't even remember his name. And that other girl that I mentioned in the middle segment who I thought was really pretty from Havana Nights. Anyways, review wrap up. We talked about The Descendants, which I said kind of rocks. Marsha kind of sucks, and then Shame rocks. Next week we're going to be talking The Sitter. Sorry, Jared. That's one of your most anticipated movies.
I know. You're not going to be here. It's going to win the box office, man.
Sure. and you can tell yourself that. And New Year's Eve, which is as annoyingly ahead of its time as most Christmas movies are that are released in early November.
Yep.
So you can get us on fatguysinthemovies.com. You got about 20 seconds left. Jared, tell us where we can find you and what you do.
Hit us up on facebook.com/moviesinthemancave or twitter.com/mancavemovies.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show and agreeing to come back.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.